We are back here on In Focus, News Radio KMAN. We're chatting with the Raleigh County Historical Museum today. Alana Parker, the executive director, and Eileen June Wong, who is the curator over at the Beach Museum, talking today about Black History Month here in Manhattan and Raleigh County, going over some interesting landmarks here in the community that are tied to some prominent African Americans in our community. And we've been talking about the Yuma Street area, and I know that there's some pretty interesting history over in that area. Eileen, do you have some things you wanted to contribute there?
Well, I actually wanted to ask Alana what the number of the Colorado Street home was that was built by Charles Howell.
Yes, and thank you, Eileen. That's something I should have mentioned. So it is 1001 Colorado Street. And again, you can see in the work, he's got a wall there that kind of separates from the garage. You can see, as I mentioned, that trapezoidal, the shaped stone that he would utilize quite frequently in his projects. You can see that in the home. But he built that in 1936, and that's where he spent the rest of his life. And it's a beautiful limestone home, just had some, it looks pretty recent. The woodwork done on the peak, there is some woodwork, some beautiful shingles there. And then of course that limestone work. But while we're talking about Charles, I did want to go ahead and mention some of his other projects in the community. Griffith Stadium, when you're driving by on Fort Riley Boulevard, that was one of his projects. That was the baseball stadium. He also did the work on Waters Hall, or what's known as Waters Hall today, but it was the Agricultural Hall. So he was the contractor for that project. And in researching Charles, one of our most exciting finds, sometimes photographs, historical photographs are hard to come by. You're always looking for those, and they turn up, whether a donor brings that in, or thank you for the internet today, where you can find different resources. So in researching Charles, we were going through, there's a stonecutter's journal from 1923. So we're going through the stonecutter's journal and came across it was a photograph, and it's a group of men all posed outside of a limestone building. And so upon further inspection, in reading who was listed in this photograph, we come across Charles Howell, which is incredible because that is the only known photograph that we have of Charles. So we do have that photograph, is currently on exhibit at the Raleigh County Historical Museum. But it's one of those you never think you're gonna find what you're looking for. And then just sometimes those resources that are available online, they present themselves. And so to have a photograph of him, and he's dressed in a suit, and he's got all the other workmen next to him in their aprons, their stonemason aprons. And it's a great photograph. But if you're interested in seeing it, you can stop by the museum, and we do have that on display.
All That's right. really cool.
Yes. It's just amazing what you can find on the internet nowadays.
I know.
Got to be careful sometimes with, anybody can put anything out there, but this was a really great find. So,
yeah, I think that's one of the perks of technological advancement, the digitization of archival materials is now possible. And it's really, I think, revolutionized historical research, that so many more material is accessible.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that's, we utilize newspapers.com quite a bit at the museum, where you can search by keyword, look at Riley County newspapers, and that's where we were able to find just quite a bit more on Charles. And as I mentioned, this journal, the Stonecutter's Journal from 1923, one of those kind of obscure journals that you happen to come across and find a beautiful photograph that now we can use to better tell Charles's story.
That's like finding the treasure, That's yes. awesome.
Never forget how excited we were. I think we had 5 minutes of celebration after finding that.
Totally. And I mean, I've used newspaper.com a lot too for my Gordon Parks research. And another treasure trove I found, was the scans of all issues of Life magazine, and that, by Google. And that has totally helped me in terms of my research on Gordon Parks. Yeah, it's amazing.
Very neat. Gosh, yes, I forgot those were all digitized too. There's just, as you said, the technological advances have really helped with historical research and for historians to better tell those stories.
Exactly, yeah. Thank you, Google Books.
Absolutely.
Now, speaking of Gordon Parks, I know that exhibit at the Beach Museum has been up for a little while. For those who don't know who Gordon Parks was, Eileen, can you give us a little background?
Yes. Gordon Parks was an African-American Kansan, and he was born in Fort Scott, Kansas, in 1912. And at that time, Fort Scott was a segregated town. And he was there until he was 15, and then he moved to Minneapolis, and then from there, you know, taught himself how to photograph with a camera he bought at a pawn shop. And, you know, many, many years later, he became the first African-American full-time staff photographer at Life magazine, which at that time was, you know, the premier magazine for photojournalism. And so he lands this spot in 1948, and, well, 1949. He freelanced for them in 1948, and then he was hired full-time in 1949. And then he went on, you know, to do artistic work in other fields, so not just in photography, but also poetry. He wrote autobiographies, five of them. And also published many books that had his poetry and his photography, you know, together. So visual and literary. And he also made films. If you guys know Shaft, he was the one who directed Shaft. And he was the first African-American director to direct a Hollywood-produced film, The Learning Tree, which came out in 1969. So very, very accomplished artist. And, you know, he moved to New York once he got his job at Life magazine. He made New York his home, but Kansas was also his home. And later in his career, starting with the making of The Learning Tree, you know, he came back to Fort Scott with full film crew and filmed for weeks in Fort Scott, hired locals to work on the set. And ever since that time, he started coming back to Kansas more and more and renewing and building more connections with Kansas institutions and people. And, you know, kind of became both New Yorker and Kansan. And our exhibition, which I co-curated with our collections manager, Sarah Price, at the Beach Museum of Art, is exploring Gordon Parks and his relationship with Kansas. And the basis of our exhibition is a group of photographs, 128 of them, which he gave to K-State in 1973. He was given an honorary doctoral degree in arts in 1970. So he came back to Manhattan to receive that degree. And during that time, the K-State president, McCain, talked to him and asked him, you know, has he considered giving a group of photographs to a Kansas public institution? So it was the first time, you know, in his career that he assembled a group of his own photographs and then gave it to a public institution. And that's what the Beach Museum of Art inherited when it was established in 1997.
The photos are great. I'm looking at the virtual exhibit here online, and I think it's neat. I didn't know he was an artist in residence here during the 1980s. That's pretty cool.
That's right. Yeah. So not only did the Beach Museum of Art inherit this group of 128 photographs given by Gordon Parks, but like I said, he was increasingly coming back to Kansas and forging new connections and doing projects in Kansas. And he came back for an artist residency in Manhattan in 1984. And then he came back again in 1985. And in 1984, that artist residency was sponsored by the Manhattan Mercury, because the Manhattan Mercury was celebrating its centennial that year. So it commissioned Gordon Parks to come for a residency and produce poetry and photography to be put in a special insert in the newspaper. And so the Beach Museum of Art has that insert. And if you visit the Beach Museum of Art now through May 28th, you'll see that insert in our gallery, you know, the special insert celebrating the Mercury Centennial. And there you see Gordon Parks with his poetry for the insert, but also photographs that he took around Manhattan and the surrounding area in 1984. And he came back in 85, sponsored by the Manhattan Arts Council. So that has now evolved into the Manhattan Arts Center. So Manhattan Arts Council invited him back to do more photography around Manhattan. And that residency was sponsored by the Manhattan Arts Council. The Mercury, again, you know, sponsored also, and several community members also pitched in for that artist residency. And those photographs, there are 73 of them existing. We think we lost some. Were housed in the Manhattan Arts Center. And then the Manhattan Arts Center talked to the Beach Museum about having the museum keep them for safekeeping, you know, because the museum has the facilities, you know, climate control and proper storage area for the photographs. So the Beach Museum had been taking care of them. And I believe in 20... Here, I'm not so sure about the exact date. I think it's like 2018 or 2019. The Beach Museum of Art and the Manhattan Arts Center came to agreement where the Manhattan Arts Center transferred the photographs into the permanent collection of the Beach Museum of Art. So now those 73 photographs are also part of the Beach Museum. So thank you to Manhattan Arts Center for that.
Yeah, absolutely. Boy, how lucky are we? This is right here in Manhattan. You can go check it out. You said till May, what, 27th?
May 28th.
May 28th, okay.
Through May 28th. But for those of you who are, you know, far away, too far away from Manhattan to come in person, you know, do check out the virtual version of the Gordon Parks exhibition, which is at mkbma.org.
Okay.
And that will be up forever, you know, as long as we can keep it up, we will. And you can also see that virtual version.
And it's beautiful. You did such a wonderful job.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Yeah. We were trying out a new format, you know, where it's, you can explore the photographs kind of in at your own pace and also in the direction that you want. So we made sure the setup was that you could go in several different directions based on your interest.
Very cool. Well, thank you for that insight here. And we're going to take a time out. We'll come back more with the Riley County Historical Museum and the Beach Museum here in just a moment on News Radio KMAN.